Now hit me.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Hey, thanks for tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob's up in a tree trying to fill the freezer with some venison. So my buddy Chaz, who you all have heard before, is sitting in and joining me. Appreciate you making time, Chaz.
Yeah, I've been up to deer camp getting things ready.
Yeah?
My good buddy Doug and I, we've been doing all that maintenance stuff, you know, clearing the shooting lanes, mowing. I had the 1953 Ford 8N. It's the Jubilee edition out there mowing.
The Jubilee edition.
That was the Jubilee edition.
Yeah.
And I was mowing with brush hog, and I was having such a great time. I had the tunes rolling in the headphones and everything, and I ran out of gas.
Oh, that probably doesn't have a gas gauge being a 70-year-old tractor.
Nope. And yeah. So I had to flag Doug down. He was on a quad trimming some stuff, and he had to run and go get some more gas.
But, right.
We went through a couple of tanks of fuel up there cutting and cleaning and getting everything ready.
Does he have a brush hog behind it or something?
Yeah,
or?
Running a 60-inch brush hog behind that.
Yep.
And we got a couple of tractors up there, and we had the chainsaws out. You know, there's always a little bit of blowdown and things like that. And we actually scored some smoker wood.
Oh, really?
Found some seasoned
stuff that was ready to go, huh?
Well, certain kinds of tree are better in the smoker than others.
Right, absolutely.
And so I'm a guy that carries a chainsaw quite often, and we get out there and we do our work. Always take a look at what you're cutting.
Right.
You don't always want to just pitch it off in the woods or throw it in the burning pile.
Right.
Sometimes it's nice to cut you like some 4-inch long chunks.
Yeah, what'd you find?
I found some wild cherry.
Ooh.
And it had died and just tipped over. It was like standing dead for a while.
Right.
So it was dry when it hit the ground, and we got up there, and I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
I said, I got to load up a couple trailers full of this behind the quad, and we hauled them up. And I said, some of that's going in the truck to go home to the smoker.
Right. Yeah. So did you, when Bob does that in his woods, but did you take the branches that what I like, the branches that are maybe 4 to 6 inches around, not the trunk, but the branches, and you just cut them into little discs, so they look like a...
Yeah, we call them cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we cut a bunch of cookies, and I've learned over the years, if you save your big onion sacks...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or the sack that maybe some of that ornamental deer or the old turkey food might come in.
Right.
Those are perfect sacks to put those cookies in to let them dry and cure if you're not finding a dry log.
Right. And we did that with hickory, and it was green that Bob cut out of his woods. And I did the same thing and had three of them hanging in my barn for a couple years. And then now they're in a big tote because I don't have to go out to the barn to get it. And I can just, you know, grab one, hit it with a hatchet, because you don't want a hard disc unless your fire's really hot, because they don't catch on fire that well. But if you take that disc, hit it with a little hand hatchet, bust it in half, now you got a raw edge of that hot or that wood, and it gets hot quick and smokes like crazy. And but there again, when you're smoking, I attribute smoke to perfume. Okay, a little bit is wonderful, a lot of it is offensive, right? And you've been in an elevator at one time when the gal had just put on a fresh dose of perfume before she hopped in there because she's going to an appointment. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah, man, Tammy Faye, dial it back.
Right, yeah, I hope she's not coming to my office, right? But anyway, so it's the same thing with smoke. And I would, when we talk about smoking, I generally make this disclaimer is a little bit is great, a lot is not.
Well, and different kinds of wood are going to produce different tones and flavors and bitterness and things that come out. You know, I like red oak, but red oak goes a long way.
Right, right.
And the fruit woods, like cherry and apple and such, they're a little more forgiving.
Right.
You can use a little bit more of that wood.
Yep. Hickory's in there between those two.
Yeah.
If you hear of mesquite, beware.
Yes.
It's super strong. It has a very unique flavor, but you can oversmoke with mesquite in a hurry. And now, you know, our friends in Texas that make Texas barbecue, that's what they use. And I think they've got a little bit adjusted palate to that. When I've been down there, I got a brother that lives in Texas, and every time I go to see him, I go to the barbecue. but it's usually pecan down there on the light side or mesquite.
Yeah.
And it depends on which barbecue joint you go to.
But yeah, when I'm out there in the woods, man, I'm always trying to be conscious about, what might I use this for?
Yeah. So I got a question for you. As I mentioned in the last segment, going to Shartucky later today. Still got some time to put together the what we're going to do with the meat. Okay, so I've got, there'll be about 50 people down there. And I got two brisket flats that are on the smoker right now. So I'm going to have 20 pounds of brisket with me. But everybody loves brisket. But I'm trying to figure out, okay, I'm going to put it out in a pan and it's going to be sliced and they're going to be able to just enjoy the flavor of a brisket. But I want to make some sandwiches out of it. And I want to make something else so that it's just not a big old pan of meat. Although that's wonderful, people will love it. I'd like them to be able to do something else with it. So I'm looking for a sandwich recipe that you might think is fantastic with a piece of brisket. It can be simple, you know, a little bit complex, don't care, but just wanted to ask you that question.
Hey, you know, those little Hawaiian King rolls,
right?
Those things are super durable. They work great for that. Or the rolls that you get over at Schnitz.
Right.
Those are great. I always think a little bit of Carolina coleslaw.
Okay.
A little coleslaw on top of that meat, just, and I,
so is that a vinegar-based one or a creamy one?
Creamy one.
Right, right.
And just put that on the brisket. Now, if it was vinegar, we'd go over the pork.
Right.
But
I'm going to have that too, so there you go. We're versatile.
Yeah, but it gives you just a little bit of crisp crunch,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of freshness on that top, and right now there's cabbages to be had.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely. And slaw is easy to make. You got three or four ingredients in it, or you can cheat and go to the store and buy a bag of pre-cut and just add some dressing to it.
Yep.
But going with the creamy dressing, I would agree. So, Chaz, pickled onions, the red ones.
Yeah.
Okay. I've looked at a couple recipes. Have you ever made those? I have not.
I have not made them, but I have eaten the hell out of them.
Right. Right.
You know, you'll find me with a jar and a fork.
Yep. And so I thought that might be good on the pulled pork.
Those could be good.
You know, the same thing on that Hawaiian bun. Just something to give it a little zing. Like you said, we're going to use the vinegar on the pork and the creamy on the brisket. But that vinegar is the onions are. In essence, pickled in red wine vinegar, right? That's what gives them the redness,
yep.
generally? Yeah. Yeah, so think I'd like to whip up a batch of those. I looked at a couple recipes, and it seemed like if the onions are in there just a couple hours, they're going to be...
Yeah, as I understand it, you put a hot brine over them
mm-hmm.
and put them in the jar, let them come to room temperature, then pop them in the cooler.
Yeah.
And that'll tighten them up a little bit.
Yeah, but just a nice little... tangy, and they lose a lot of their heat when they've been pickled, but they still got that crunchiness. And so I'm gonna take a run at those yet today.
Now, a side pan of cornbread is always appropriate.
Yeah, that's true too.
Especially if you got a big cast iron to put it in, because that really shows off some presentation.
Sure. So do you put sweet cornbread, or do you just use a regular?
I do spicy.
Yeah.
Chop up some peppers in it.
Okay, like jalapeno?
A little bit of jalapenos, a little serranos.
Yeah.
Maybe a little red pepper. Just
fine dice.
Fine dice. Throw it right in there with it.
Mix it up.
And I actually like to put a little bit of, you know, just corn in there, canned corn.
Right, drained.
Drain it out and mix it in your batch, and it just gives it a little more texture.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we got one of Chaz's buddies, Linus from Three Gatos Brewing, and he's going to get on line with us, and we're going to talk some beer. Stick with us. We'll be back.